Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, praise team. We are going to go straight into today's message or exhortation. We are going to pray first. Thank you, musicians. I'm going to need your help quickly. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour as we gather tonight, today, celebrating what you call for us day in America. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we say happy Father's Day to every father in the house. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you will guide this fellowship and exhortation, this message and this discussion today. And let your name alone be glorified in all this, so that people of God everywhere that are going to hear or view this recordings, they shall be blessed. Many shall know that Jesus is the only way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, today I'm going to do something different. We've never done it before. And I will tell you why the Lord laid this upon my heart to do this. We all came from Africa, from Nigeria, many years ago. And when we were in Nigeria, we had what we call this same type of fellowship. And many of us grew together. Seniors, many of us move over to America. I was talking to a brother many years ago right now in his house, and I was one of the people in Nigeria that usually we preach. And this brother, I've never seen him preach or exhort. He was one of the brethren in the fellowship, but he also moved over here. Then we were shouting in his house, and he said something that touched my heart. He said, you guys, when you are preaching in Nigeria and we never ask questions, you thought we all believe what you guys are saying. Said, what? This, to me, is an elder among us. Think of all people like all our brothers have been here, they never really preach. But they were seniors like us, and they were in Nigeria like that. That was this brother, he was not among us here, but he was one of us that moved from Nigeria over here. And when I was in his house, he said that almost many years ago. He said, you mean we stand up and preach about end time message? And they listened, they never asked questions, and we thought they all believed, and they all followed us. Let's not be deceiving ourselves. And Lord said, and we in our fellowship, we never have Bible stories. No Bible studies, no sir. Do you ever have Bible studies in Nigeria? No Bible studies. We just come on Sundays, we preach. No discussion. And we thought all of them are believing. So that's why I said we're going to do question and answer today. It's going to be a panel. I'm going to invite three. Can somebody come and move this thing, brother? Michael, come and move this thing. Give me some three chairs here. I'm going to invite three preaching pastors over here. And we're going to ask questions. Actually, I listed some questions that will be in the heart of many, and then I will pass to these pastors one by one, and they will give the explanation. And after they do that, we're going to open it to questions from the audience. Right there, please. Just move this one away and move me closer to them. So three people sitting down in a panel. One more share, thank you. And we're going to ask questions. And we have five questions here. We direct to each person. And then, after they answer the questions, we will invite only three. Only three, brethren. That's all. Yeah. Only three in the panel. So we need three microphones for them. What about you? And then we open it to questions. If you have any question while they were giving the answer, please write it down. If any question comes to your mind as a follow-up, write your own question down. Either you are going to pass it to me, or I'm going to invite you to come and ask your question. Follow up, and you can direct to any of those three pastors so that they will explain further what they just said or why they believe that. And those are the things that we need to do. It's like a question and answer panel. Okay? And I want the people that are watching on television, because this thing I record here, this is like my studio here. I record it for television broadcasts. I have my sermons on ITV in Abuja, because I want to reach those politicians in Africa. So we are going to talk on why do we believe Jesus is the only way? Those type of questions that you that is preaching on the street will run into people that will ask that type of question. Maybe you that is also college students will have the same question. Because I was talking to one of our own people here, young people that have gone to PhD on the phone, and said, do people believe this thing so much? You think it's true? What? You think it is true? What we have touched, what we have seen with our eyes, your PhD in psychology, that you think you know now, you think we, parents, we think it is true. True! We have touched and tested this thing. You better believe it. So that's why we are going to ask this question, so that some of you that are being in colleges, I'm going to introduce this pastor so that you guys that are watching online, you see that we are not riffraffs. Because people thought in the generation of the world, these riffraffs, in the days of the Roman Empire, only the slaves were following the Christianity. So all the senators think, only the riffraffs, the slaves. No, God is not just calling riffraffs. I'm going to tell you that are watching, among us in this audience are what? Medical doctors. They can't believe riffraff, are they? Engineers. They can't believe riffraff, are they? Nurses. By show of hand, many of them will know. I'm not to talk of college students. So we are not riffraff, and I'm going to introduce these pastors and tell you their credentials as I bring them over here, so that we are not even theologians. Because they say, oh, they went to the school of theology and they pop something into their head and they are now trying to make. No, many of our pastors are not theologians. We are engineers, medical doctors. So you say scientists, they say science is against the Bible, not the true scientists. So that is why you that are watching, when you see, when you hear what these people are going to explain and answer the question that baffles many people, you will know that yes, you better follow Jesus is the only way. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to call Brother Austin Jonah. I don't know. Now, Brother Austin has worked, I'm introducing him right now, come over and sit down, has worked as a chaplain, you know, in America. Chaplain for prisoner, working with the prison ministry, changing lives. People that were criminals. And you know, in most of the prisons, they have chaplains just to see whether these people can change. And he has worked with them, changing lives. So that's why I'm introducing him. He's going to give explanation to some of the things. Now I'm going to call Pastor John Agebome. Now, Pastor John has his bachelor in microbiology from University of Benin in Nigeria and has master's degree in MBA in business from University of Ife, what you call in those days, we call University of Ife. It was by the time he went there, when we were there, it was University of Ife. By the time he went there, it was Oba Femi Awolowo University. So that you guys that are in Nigeria, you see that, well, these are not riffraff, these are master's degree people. And then he worked many places and he's now in America. And I'm going to call Pastor Yato Adeyemi, who is the senior pastor in this congregation here. Now, Pastor Yato, I've known him. He has his bachelor from Nigeria, from University of Ibadan, in what? Computer science. So don't think of these people as theologians, they're going to tell us something. Computer scientist. And he has got his master's degree from Arizona State University right here in computer science. And he has been working in this country as an engineer, computer scientist. So don't think of, and your student is talking to you. I have my bachelor's degree in computer engineering. A little bit different from computer science. Electrical and computer engineering from University of Ife in the 70s. And then came over here and got my master's degree in electrical and computer engineering from Arizona State University. And not only that, I have worked in this country from in different area of computer programming and then work as a camp. As what we call cyber security specialist. trying to protect the Department of Defense in America, that's the military, working to protect this Department of Defense, and working to protect even the Department of National Defense called Canadian military, where I work until I retire. So when you are looking at these people, don't think they are just theologians, they're going to tell us something. These are professionals. And we're not even theologians. We are going to talk about Jesus, the only way. Why we believe the only way? Praise the Lord. So I have a few questions here. I listed about 6 questions, really. And I will pose it to one by one, and then they will give explanation. The first question will go to Pastor John. So I say, you take a pen. If you have a follow-up question, write it down. At the end of this few discussion, they are going to write, answer your question as much as we can cover. Pastor John is going to answer the first one. What proof is there that there is a God? Many unbelievers would like to know. Some people claim to be atheists. It's going to be brief, but it's going to go to the point. What proof is there that there is a God? If you want to stand up so that the camera can focus on you, Pastor John, go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Go on.
I know there is God. First and foremost, because I have experienced His transformation power in my life. I was born into a pagan family. My father used to worship his own ancestors. But miraculously, God instead, God transformed my life and I became different in the whole family. And in time, many of us came to know the Lord in my family. So, from personal experience of a changed life, I know that there is God. But scripturally, if we want to go to the book of Romans, we can read chapter 1, verse 20. Somebody put it up, please.
Romans chapter 1, verse 20.
He says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So some people say, oh, we talk about Jesus, but what about those who never heard about Jesus? Before Jesus came, there were people. But let me tell you that there are people that approve of God, who knew God in the Old Testament before Jesus came. Abraham, the father of faith, he believed God in his time. He didn't have scripture like this, but he feared God. He saw nature. He saw what God had created. And that gave me conviction that there was a supreme being, and he believed and he feared God. He did not fear God. He believed God. Not because there was a Bible, but because of what God had created. In Psalm 19, verse 1, I thought also, can you put it up, please? Psalm 19, verse 1. It talks about the creation of God. The moon, the stars. There is an architect of the universe. If we have some good fashion, somebody is putting on right now, there is a designer. There's hardly anything you can see here that was not made by any human being. But God gave them wisdom. And you cannot say this microphone just came from nowhere. Somebody designed it and is functioning. So there is a designer. There is the designer of the whole creation. In fact, if you are sincere, looking at nature, looking at the mountain, and looking at volcanoes and all that, you find that there is God. Just take a visit to the Grand Canyon. Something will tell you that there is God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank you, brother. We can go further and further on that. If you have more questions, just write it down. We're going to get to you. The next question I'm going to pose to the panel here is for Pastor Yato. Let's talk about faith. How is faith exercised and why does it fail sometimes? If you say faith fails, I mean, you pray and you try to get something, you exercise your faith, and it doesn't seem to happen. Pastor Yato.
Well, good morning and praise the Lord.
Yep.
Well, you know, how is faith exercised? I'm glad that he asked me that question, because faith is a subject that I'm passionate about.
Amen.
The Bible says that, number one, you know, without faith, it's impossible to do so. We find that in Hebrews 11 and 6. The same chapter of Hebrews 11 describes faith in the first verse as faith being a substance. It's the substance of things we hope for. Now, from that scripture, we see that faith is not abstract. Substance is tangible. Faith is a substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things we have not seen. Put it to you this way. How do you exercise faith? There are two or three questions he asked. How do you exercise faith? Why does it work sometimes? And why does it work other times? Kind of like brother and faith lovers. So, the way that faith works is for us, you know, to, just like this scripture says, to believe in something, to hope for it, to press forward toward it, you expect it, even though you are not yet seeing. Now, but for our faith, this is the question about how does faith work? For our faith to work, it has to be based on the Word of God. I can't just have faith in myself. You know, that may be good, but the faith that we're talking about today, I'm sure, is the faith that works out of the Word of God. In the book of Lamentations 3:37, again, the scripture that I like a lot, it says that who is he that says something and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded? Now, which means, you know, I can be having faith in something, and chances are it may happen, may not happen, if the Lord has not commanded. But if the Lord has commanded it, then we are more assured that it is more likely to happen. How does faith work? I'll give you two scriptures. Maybe three. One scripture in 1 John chapter 3:22 talks about two kinds of things that we must do in order to receive something from Him. Faith obviously is about receiving things from God. When we ask something, then we receive it of Him, because we give His commandments, that's one. And we do those things that are basically inside us too. So faith works by us keeping His commandments. That's what I call acting obedience. God has commanded something, we do it. The other one I call passive obedience is even if God has not point blank commanded it, but we know that it pleases Him, so we do it. Now, a combination of these two things, when we do what He has commanded, and we do what we know pleases Him, grants us access to God. Gives us, you know, that's how faith works. Now, quickly about why does faith not work? From Jesus, He talked about it. There's a story in Matthew chapter 11 where He was talking about it from verses 23 to 25. Powerful lessons there. He's talking about you can even use your faith to move mountains, you know. But He gave some principles here. He says that when you say something, and you know that He was talking about faith, as we read the previous verse in 22, talking about have faith in God, right? Have faith in God. Then He goes on to explain how the faith works. Now, this is the illustration He gave. Looking at the mountain that was there, and He said, if you, this is how faith works. Practically, if you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, one thing you say. Now, that part is also important, because you can't say something that God has not commanded. Cover that already. But assuming you find a scripture for it, something that God has commanded, latch on to it, then you say it. And then Jesus gave some principles here. He said, when you say it, you must not doubt it in your heart, but you must believe that those things that you said will come to pass, and you will have those things. Which means if you doubt, you will not know. So doubt is a blocker, and unbelief obviously is a blocker. Now, in this chapter, you go down to verse 25, Jesus also talks about a great blocker, because in verse 24 he says, what things, you know, soever that you desire, because God be according to the word of God, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and it shall happen. But now, in the next verse, it says, but when you start praying, and you do not forgive, well, your heavenly Father may not forgive you. Neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. You know, so unforgiveness is a great blocker. And other things in the scriptures, like Isaiah chapter 59, tells us, he said, our God's ears are not deaf, right? And his hand is not shutting, that it cannot save, but our iniquities have separated us from our God. So those, again, those things are some blockers. Let me stop here. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We move forward. The next question I'm going to pose to Pastor Austin is, what is generational curse? And can one cancel it? Based on Luke chapter 11 verse 24. Pastor Austin.
Praise the Lord.
Put Luke chapter 11 verse 24 up.
It's a way. You know, the Holy Spirit is gone out of the man. He walked to dry places, seeking rest. Finding none, he said, I will return unto my house, whence I came out. You see, David, the body is not his rest. It's not the devil's rest. But he said, I will return to my house. Why? That person is something that opened the door for the enemy to come in and take that place as his own rest. Now, the Bible talks about generational curses. At the time came, God abolished it. I have scriptures for you. And let me discuss generational curses. Let's look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Exodus 34, verse 7. Killing mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that we by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. Now, so they write for people to receive generational causing generational, and they would latch to that one or using that case, people, even Tina, even the churches, generational causes. But do you know God has abolished it? He has abolished death, and he brought immortality back to life to the gospel. So if you can't believe the gospel,
the other time, microphone is better.
Immortality,
even useless.
Hallelujah. Now, we abolished generational
causes. Let's switch over.
I have a speaker for you, Ezekiel chapter 18. This one to be in or
no, use this one.
Yes.
Use this microphone.
Hallelujah. Can you hear me well?
Yes. Ezekiel chapter 18. It said, the word of God came unto me saying, what be ye that use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, see the Lord, he shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel, even in America, in Nigeria. Behold, all souls are mine. This is God talking to us. As the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinned shall die. Let's keep. Let's go to verse 4. That is verse 5. Okay. Verse 4. Okay. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinned, it shall die. And that is really happy. Let's go to verse 20. What does it chapter? Verse 20, please. The soul that sinned, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Do you hear that? Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. You pay for your own, you can't pay for the value. And but at the end, you see that? I will explain something to you. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon you, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon you. Yeah. Let me explain something. You see, the enemy has been using this against believers, even till our present time, because they don't know their life. There's a man in America today who was a prophet, now he's not an apostle. Now, what happened? When he's fasting, the children will be crying, "Daddy, don't fast," because his hand will be out of hand. I tell him he's fasting. So he said to go to God. God told him, he said, there's a court case. Witness, there's something that the enemy is holding to. Remember, I shared something about Job. You don't know what is backing on you. But the enemy will go around. He says, go online, seeking who you are. But apart from that, it is a busy body. And he wants to see that you disbelieve your God. But this man, when he went to God, what did he say? He said, a court case. And he said, what is it? He said, you have to come to me and repent and appear before me. So he presented himself, not in the heaven, in prayer land, and was repenting for the sins of his own parents. While he was doing that, the yoke was broken. Right there, his own soul, that yoke was broken while he was in the school, in the college. Then, in that question, that daddy, what happened was so time? He said, that was the time that I appeared before the Lord because the Lord gave me the key. And I repented on behalf of my living young parents and so on and so forth. And I knew anger was broken. And then that is how the song was set free. So the devil is a lawyer. He knows how to alter some things that you don't know, that have been creeping on in your generations. Just like the sister told me recently, he said, you know, the Lord told me that your father, your mother is from the palace. See, there are a lot of things born in the palace. But I don't know, but she's already here. I'm not looking for whatsoever to be done, but I need to move to God on my own. But this is the secret. The way to break this yoke is to do communion 3 times a day for 3 days. Did you hear that? It will be broken. See, the deliverance we go for at times will not come through except by the power of God. But to do it easily, you can take fast, but it's not fasting that will do it, it's faith. Amen?
Amen.
They do convene. I know some of us can pay for ourselves on the internet. You can get to buy in the store, let's say, juice, and do it 3 times a day for 3 days. God will bring that cost from your foundation. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, And he mentioned faith. I want to just say it before I move down, because faith in the word of God is essential. You have to claim your promises. What the Bible says, we have been translated. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That is when you are born again. So if you have been born again, truly born again, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. Your parents and grandparents were in the kingdom of darkness because they were not born again. But if you have been born again, then you have to know the word and you have to claim, stand on the ground of the word that I am no more from that family. I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the confession of your faith, that book is yours. It's just like saying, that man said, you belong to that family. I'm no more in that family. I'm now in the family of God. That faith alone breaks any yoke, generational curse. Praise the Lord. That's where he was talking about faith. Praise the Lord. Now, make sure you write questions down, that the follow-up question to some of these things we're asking. Two more questions I'm going to ask before we throw it open to everybody to bring your own question, and we still have some time. Now, we're going to go into something that is new, that is in our generation. Prophecy of our time. What time is it? Because everybody said, the Lord is coming soon. Rapture, 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 and so on. I want to throw it up to any of the pastors who is going to answer this. What time are we in right now? Based on the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24, or the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Who's going to want to take a shot at that? Pastor John, Pastor Yato, about the prophecies of end time, because that's what we were all being raised with. Prophecy, the Lord is coming soon, Antichrist is coming, all the type of thing that we were teaching one another in the 80s and 70s, that made many people even forsake schools, thinking it's coming soon, it's coming soon. And we are now grandparents, you see, that started in the 70s. Many forsook school that the Lord is coming soon. And up to now, some people are still doing the same thing. I mean, they are thinking it's coming soon. They were forsaking many things. You see, and yet, we are now grandparents. When we were in colleges, many of us never even thought we were going to get married before the Lord comes. Now, what time is it right now? Anybody wants to take it up first? Comparing the prophecies we are watching now and the prophecies of war, the signs of the end that we are seeing in the news. Praise the Lord. John, on the try first. Can share the microphone.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are prophecies in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Revelation telling us about what will happen in the end times. Well, some people said, you know, as far back as the days of the apostles, it was end time. But there are the latter days in which we are now. There were certain things happening in the time of the apostles that are not happening now. For example, gay marriage was an abomination. Same-sex marriage was an abomination at that time. It is way back in the time of Sodom. For which reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But today, it's not regarded as an abomination. It is something that people proudly identify with. That is delusion. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, and you read up this, the Bible talks about this kind of development, wherein what is truth in the word of God will be called evil. Let's read it directly. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what is happening now. What was assault in those days is now regarded as the light. People believe God in earlier times, the time of the apostles, but now they believe the creature more than the creator. This is exactly what is happening now. Then Jesus himself told us about certain signs that will happen. As it was the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What happened in the time of Noah? There was so much sin
so much sin, such that God repented and went to destroy the world at that time. What is happening today? So much sin that we think that we are even going to overcome on this side. Because God has every right to destroy the world more than because Sodom and Gomorrah, they did less than what we are doing now. Praise the Lord. The signs of the earthquake and all that. You say, oh, earthquakes have been happening. But the magnitude of earthquake and the frequency of earthquakes is different. If you trace it back, let's say in the 1920s, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, you find that the frequency of earthquakes is more now, and the gravity, the magnitude of it, is even more. Jesus also told us about the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, that's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. It's happening now. But you see, one thing we need to know is that Jesus said he's coming again. And that there will be false prophets, false teachers. We are having it now much more than ever before. There are certain things unpredictable that are happening in some so-called churches today. You will baffle. And that is hardly the heart of many people not to believe in the true God. Because there are agents of darkness in the church. There is happening much more than when you were born. And by the way, please don't take side with the mockers, the scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3, 18 verse 10, there about talks about the mockers. They are those who come out, they are scoffers. They say, oh, they say Jesus is coming and he has not come. He will come when we come. Before Jesus Christ came the first time, there were prophecies that he will come, he will be born of a virgin. But like Isaiah, he never saw the manifestation. But you yourself, you know that one has since happened. So they waited for centuries, waited for many years, and it didn't happen. He didn't make the word of God of no effect. At the right time, he came. Jesus is delayed. He's the one that said, why the bride won't carry? You read Matthew chapter 25, story of the 10 virgins. Why the bride won't carry? The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sovereign God. You are not about to tell me. You must come now. Why is the one carrying? Are you to question him? When is time when the time is right, and when everybody who is supposed to be in the kingdom must enter by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will come. But the signs told us they are all around us, and we should be prepared. Personally, I don't believe that you have to look forward to a particular day for a prophet will tell you that day the Lord is coming. Many have been disappointed with that. That's what the pastor was saying. But I was in the school system at that time when some prophecies were given. I never left my school. I never left my program. Because I have conviction in the word of God that it could not be like that. In that way, there are false teachers, those who are misguided by the scripture, and they can predict, manipulate, and tell things. Don't go by faith. Go by the spirit of readiness. That any time Jesus says to come, I will be ready.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's what I will stop there so far.
Praise the Lord. Now I want to add a little bit to that before I go to the next question. What I want to add is to talk about the mark of the beast. Because we, in the generation when the Bible was written, this prophecy in the book of Revelation chapter 13, remember, that was Apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 13, 2,000 years ago, and he mentioned this in the book of Revelation chapter 13, about verse 16, they put it forward. And people have wondered, what is this, Mark 666? The book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. And it said, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in his right hand or in their forehead. Now that has baffled the theologians for generations, because in the days of the apostles, something like days when a dictator rose up and they thought that must be the Antichrist in the days of the Caesars because of other things that he did. But this one is talking about a false prophet different from the first beast that was called the Antichrist. He went further, verse 17 of that. What did he say with apple with people? No man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Buy or sell is commerce. In the generation past, nobody knew that anything like this can ever happen. It looked like it's impossible. He said, no man can buy or sell. But now it's possible because now people are using credit cards, digital. And they are now even doing this thing called the microchip under the skin that is going to take over in the next few years. We are in the electronic world, and I have done these RFID chips, and I know what you are talking about, because in some I've presented before, in some years ago, some engineering group are discussing this thing that this microchip under the skin in the next few years will become non-optional. What do you mean by non-optional? That is, you cannot buy or sell unless you have it. Everybody in America, when I came to America the first time, first just coming to do, to help, to bring something to California from my company in Nigeria, they said, where do you have it? I want to rent a car. They said, do you have a credit card? I said, what's that? Because I know about credit cards in Nigeria in 1970. What's that? I said, well, if you don't have a credit card, you can't rent a car, but you have to deposit $500. I have money from the government, so I was able to deposit $500. So it will get a car rented. Then when I move out, you see, credit card became the thing, not so in those days. Now this chip under the skin is going to replace that. Everybody's using, I don't carry currency anymore, not so. If you say carry currency, you go to a store, you want to buy your $20, means that you are of the old school. It's charge it. But that's what is going to be replaced by this microchip under the skin, which God said, anybody that takes that is in trouble. Revelation chapter 14. But people have wondered about that. When will this ever look like? Is this fable? It's possible now in our generation. The microchip under the skin. It's not just possible, they are already doing it. People are already getting it under their skin. And then they can just go and swipe it. You don't need a card that can be stolen. Just swipe your hand. They use it to open doors. It's about 50,000 people are taking it. It's not mandatory yet, but this will become mandatory. That's what the Bible is saying. God has seen it 2,000 years ago. He's saying now, that is where human beings are going beyond what he planned for mankind. Or their forehead. They are going to put this sheep under the skin. Why forehead? Because in microchip, that thing has no battery. So what is going to use to run this thing is a radio frequency. That's called the RFID. I work on it in my computer. Radio frequency is what it's using. And now how are you going to get battery for this thing to work? The microbiologists realize that right here, a change in temperature is what can use. Then what you need to make sure that thing will be able to ignite. And they are now putting it either here or here in the right hand. God has seen it thousands of years ago and said, when they now, because God said he's going to put his name on the forehead of these believers. And the devil said, I will put my number on their forehead too, before yours. So now, God said, anyone that take the mark, Revelation chapter 14, about verse 8 there, if you take the mark of that beast, when it happened, when it became mandatory especially, you are in trouble. You are not going with the Almighty God. See, that is our generation. So that's how we know that we are in the time of the end. In the 70s, we never see that. But we are seeing that microchip now develop in that generation, the 20,000 and something. And it's already here. That's what I'm trying to say. It's already here. So get yourself ready. Now the next question I'm going to ask is for anybody that is going to ask us again. Who and who? Now we talk about the rapture. Also, we're going to go away to escape all these things. The Lord Jesus said, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these evil things that have come upon the world and to stand before the Son of Man. And we know one of the ways of escaping is that rapture. The Bible said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Say, God, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's kind of like a great escape. Why? Because after that will be a serious trouble upon the earth. The vials of the wrath of God upon the Antichrist system. We are all water turned to blood. So you don't want to be here during that time. You can read that in the book of Revelation chapter 16. That is the real wrath of God. All the things that is happening in the world right now, wars. These are all the workings of the devil. But God now begins to pour his wrath upon the earth, Revelation chapter 16, the seven vials of the wrath of God. Now that's when we want to escape. But who and who is going to be in that rapture? Who and who is qualified? I want to open it up to brethren. Matthew chapter 25. Pull it forward. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 5. So, Pastor Yato, let's start from you. You want to get on the short of me. Who and who is qualified to go in the rapture? You can actually come over here. So make it close.
Well, the story in Matthew 25 about the rich virgins and wise virgins. First of all, to understand what Jesus is saying here, you have to take the whole Bible as a whole. There are elements that we can do and try to dissect in this Bible. A lot of people have done that. The key thing, however, that Jesus is teaching, because at the end of this Bible, he said, therefore be ye also ready. For you know not in what hour the Lord cometh. So the principle that is behind this parable is very simple. It's called readiness. That's what this parable is talking about. And I'm going to give you an illustration of readiness out of this parable. There were about 50%, so to speak, that were ready. Others were not ready. And Jesus went on to describe what was the state of readiness or the state of unreadiness in those that were either ready or not ready. For those that were ready, they were better prepared for the journey that was at hand. They actually not only took them. Some of us, many of us come from Africa, we understand the concept of lambs. There was in lamb, the little reservoir, it only has so much that it can take. And when it's finished, that's it. You better put more kerosene in that thing. So, others, they only carried the lamb. They didn't have the foreknowledge or foresight, rather, that the journey could take a long time and they might run out of that kerosene or oil. So, in a sense, they were not prepared for the journey. But let's look at it this way. Because they all actually slept and slumbered when the bridegroom was waiting. When the bridegroom started before he came. Let's think of it this way. The illustration I like to give is, you're going on a trip. I know that my wife and I would love to travel to Nigeria. And when we are trying to go to Nigeria, we start to prepare sometimes many weeks in advance. Now, the trip itself, the flight out of Phoenix, may be early in the morning, someday, whatever it is. But, that doesn't mean you don't sleep the night before. Now, if your bags are all packed and ready, you can still sleep the night before. You can still get up and go to your car. Now, if you were not packed and ready, on the day of your travel, so running around, you don't remember whether your passport is valid, you have a visa and all of that, most likely you go to this airport. But if you have done all those preparations, for the flight, even though you went to bed the night before, that doesn't mean that you are going to miss the flight, because you're ready. Your bags are packed, when you wake up, just go to the airport. So the lesson here is preparedness. What are the things that make us to be prepared and not prepared? So those that are not prepared, they were the ones who in the last week were scrambling. And then when you were scrambling, the other people who are prepared said, you go find for yourself. And by the time you went and came back, you don't have the shot. And you don't suffer. Play. So the lesson is preparedness. And that's the question. This is what we must ask ourselves. Now, I say to everyone that's listening over here and elsewhere, that the Holy Spirit is the governor of the church. And his role is to prepare us for the coming of the Lord, especially now in this last day. Now, if you are not listening to the Holy Spirit, you are likely to miss something. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is preparing us. Now, so the only thing I say to you, like the man that came to Jesus, said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, you know the law. Do this, do that, go do this. And I've done all those things before all my life. The Lord looked at him and said, and the Lord actually saw his heart. He said, yeah, good. He said, yet thou lackest one thing. And he told him what his issue was. He had dependency upon his riches. And he went away sad. And Jesus didn't run after him. He just let him go. And then he turned around to himself and said, how hard is it going to be for those that are rich to enter heaven? He said, what do you mean? Then he explained it. Those that trust in riches. So it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and for them to get to heaven. So the question now is, what is that one thing that thou might still lack? So what we call the Holy Spirit will tell you. The Holy Spirit will be telling you there is one thing that you still lack. But if you are one, ignorant, or two, willfully ignorant of what the Holy Spirit is saying, then you won't prepare. The only thing I'm telling you that you have unforgiveness in your heart. There's something that you've been holding on to that you did not release. And if you don't listen, well, that may be the one thing that you still have. You have got all these other things. Man said, I've kept all this stuff, and Jesus said, do it. But he said, yet you lack one thing. So, preparedness is for us in this time to stay close to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just to add to that, put on Luke chapter 12 from verse 34 to 38. Let me just read that. Luke chapter 12 from verse 34. About that readiness is what our brother said. And the Lord gave us what does readiness really mean. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The next verse. Let your loins be gathered about, and your lights burning. Your lights burning, your lights burning. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. So that is very essential that he said, what? Your light burning. Be yourself like a one that is watching. You must watch and pray. Like our pastor said, you must be ready. That is your readiness. Your light burning. And one more thing, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. One of us also told us that. Unto them, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Unto them that look for him, you must be looking for Jesus. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, are you looking for Jesus? Or you are too busy?
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, if the Lord is coming, says, I have to finish my college first. Don't wait on that, brother. Oh, I'm going to get married first. Don't count on that, sister. Be ready at any time. But looking for him means you are anxiously waiting for him. So think about that. What does it mean to be looking for him? Unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto glory. Praise the Lord. Now, one more question I want to ask, which perhaps is, why do we say this is going to come from more unbelievers like the Muslims? Why do you say Jesus is the only way? Prove to me that Jesus is the only way. Give me Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6. I just put three Bible verses out there because we have run out of time because I want to open it up to people to ask them. John chapter 14, verse 6. Why do we say Jesus Christ is the only way? Because all the other religions thought the last pope was gathering all those religions and saying we are all serving the same God. No, we are not serving the same God. They may be trying to serve God, but God has come to visit mankind in the name of Jesus, in the body of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ said it with his mouth. With his own mouth, somebody may say, well, I don't believe the report. Then that's your problem. If you don't believe the testimony of Basil Harding that wrote it down for us, then that's your problem. You that are on the world that are listening to this on radio or TV. Testimony of others. These men called the apostles, they dined with him, they heard him, they talked to him. Apostle John said, what we have touched with our hands. So if you don't believe the testimony of this scripture that they said Jesus Christ said it, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because I was talking to my preacher in every place where I find myself, and the Muslim rabbi said, you guys are following something, how do you prove it? Jesus Christ said, you say, I don't believe that, that's just something from your scriptures. If you don't believe the testimony of these prophets, you are on your own. I cannot help you. Remember the story Jesus Christ gave of the rich man that went to hell and Lazarus that went to the bosom of Abraham? That was not a parable. Not a parable. Jesus Christ was telling you what he knew happened on the other side. And that rich man said, send Lazarus, please, to bring water. Said, no way of crossing over, sorry. The rich man said, well, please, send Lazarus to go back to my brethren on earth. So they don't come to this bad place. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. I mean, they have preachers who are giving testimonies on earth. Oh, but Abraham, no. If somebody will rise from the dead, do you believe? What did Abraham say to the man? If they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. No one rose from the dead. What is Moses and the prophets? Those are the testimonies. If you don't believe this testimony, we are saying Jesus Christ said with his mouth, I am the way, the truth. If you don't believe that, and you say, well, that's your Bible, our Quran doesn't say that, then you are on your own, because this is the testimony of those who heard him. Apostle Peter also said in another place, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12, Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You may say, well, that's the Muslim may tell you that's in your Bible, we don't believe that in the Quran. Well, if you don't believe the testimony, like Abraham said, of these prophets, you cannot help him. Don't beat your head on the wall trying to convince them. If I tell you the truth and the testimony, you don't believe it, that you're your own. You are no. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ didn't hear and cry. Just told the Pharisees. That's why cast questioning him. He said, You are not believing because you are none of my sheep. They are too still on that. So don't beat yourself to death because some people are not believing. Just go on and tell them, just tell them the truth. Neither is there salvation in any other. But there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One more Bible verse. One more Bible verse. The apostles, they heard heaven open and speak. So this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. That is, Jesus Christ said he is the way. The apostles said they heard a voice from heaven confirming that, hear him. In the mount, let me tell you, Matthew chapter 17 verse 5. Matthew chapter 17 verse 5. That was when they went with the Lord Jesus Christ to the mountain to pray in the dead of night. And they woke up and saw Jesus transfigured. And Moses and Elijah, they could recognize that was Moses. That was Elijah. Wow! In glory, in cloud. And they went to go and meet them. Master, we are glad we are here. We built three tabernacles for you, for Moses, for Elijah. Say, a cloud came and covered and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him! That means forget your Moses. Forget about Elijah. This is the final authority. Everyone back him up. He said, say it's the way. The scripture said it. So if you don't believe the testimonies of these people, you are on your own. So that's talking to somebody in Africa, talking to somebody in America that is listening to this. If you don't believe these testimonies, you are on your own. Because it's this testimony that saved us. He said, you can't believe it. Then you will see. Somebody say, well, show me first. Then I'll believe. No, he said, you believe. Then you will see. Praise the Lord. That is my answer to that. Why is Christ the only way for all of you? Now we are going to open this to everybody. If you have questions, follow-up questions, yes, brother, come forward so that we can give you the camera, I can see you. Yes, come forward, and you are come over here so I can face the camera. I want them to see who is asking questions, and you can pass to anybody. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please, if you can put up Galatians chapter 2, verse.
Make sure you say question now.
No. Yeah. Okay. That's the basis of the question.
Yeah.
The question is on.
What is chapter? What?
Chapter Colossians 2, 13 and 14.
Colossians 2, 13 and 14.
The question on the basis of a central process. Pastor Austin's illustration about the man that is. Having issues, anger issues,
okay,
seems to contradict the scriptures he read that the ancestral causes is abolished, because it just looked as if that until he break that cause, that it was to follow him and his generation. So if that we are putting that scripture, if by these scriptures,
read that scripture out.
And if you then in your sins. And your circumcision of your flesh, can he quicken together with him? Talking about believers now.
Yeah.
Having forgiven you all trespasses, 14 place. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, letting it to the cross. The next verse, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made me sure of them openly, triumphing over them.
Yes.
So, I want that clear because of all the.
Praise the Lord. He addressed it to Pastor Austin, and I want to actually quickly answer some part of that, because the Bible verse I quoted after Pastor Austin spoke, that God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, when you believe and you are born again. That is what this Bible verse you quoted is referring to. We that are born again. But you have to believe it and understand it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So the knowledge of the word of God, if it's missing, people will still be thinking of the Old Testament. That's why many churches up to now, they were still thinking they were following the Old Testament laws of Moses. And that's what they are thinking their righteousness is, by keeping all those laws. And they're afraid that if I do this thing, God is going to whack me. But we are under this grace of God. But you have to believe it, that you have been transformed, you have been translated, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness, where your parents were, where you once were before you were born again, into this kingdom where you are now enjoying this. When you enjoy this, it's because you have been translated. But you have to believe it and confess it, claim that promise all out to that brother.
Yes, it is true that the enemy will go after the believers, like the teaching I gave about Job. The Lord is always blacking on you in the realm of the spirit. Don't know what God is saying. This is my soul. He's perfect, he's righteous, he's upright. He will not compromise. And the enemy will come and what? You know, mammon is a problem to people generally, except those who really fear God. Now, because of mammon, that's why he came to attack Job, and Job did not succumb to mammon. And God, at the end, enriched Job more than before. Now,
The question is that this Bible verse of Colossians is saying we have been transformed, we have been made righteous. And so why are you still talking about it? That's why my answer to him, that you have to believe that you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ when you are born again. If you don't believe that, you don't understand it, you will still be afraid, and the devil commercialize, or the devil really prey on fear, not knowing the word. That's really the answer to it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sister, come forward. Sister Pam. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. Believe it, confess it, and stand by it. And the Lord will bless you. Come forward so they can face the camera, they can see who's talking.
I have a few questions that I'll just give you. The first question I would ask is, when The initial question you asked Pastor Julius was about how do you explain to an unbeliever, what was the initial question, what proof is there of God? Mm-hmm. And I know that you mentioned the audience is those who've been coming to church, mm-hmm. who don't necessarily believe, so they know what the scripture says. But also to those who may be listening to your radio broadcast, who are looking for proofs. What are there any historical proofs?
For God.
Historical, archaeological proofs, indisputable proofs that there is a God that would speak to those people who give more levity to things in the world as opposed to things in the Word. Don't believe the Word.
Archaeological proof. Anybody else? Any other questions?
Okay, my other question is, from the last question you asked, what was the... Where are we at in the timeline as far as the rapture? Yeah. So, where in the historical timeline are we according to Daniel's prophecies on the clock? What are all the events that were supposed to have been hit? Have they all been hit? Are we just waiting? Where on that timeline are we?
Okay. Well, those are going to even the second question that talks about timeline. Let me quickly talk a little bit about that. I don't want any of us to be trying to think of timeline, because that is where many people made mistakes in the past. Timeline is trying to predict. I think we are right here, and I believe if you have 7 more years, we're going to be the end of the world. People have been timelining for years, and they are always missing the mark. They are always failing. So, be ready. That's what I would say. Ready at all times. I'm trying to say, the timeline, but we can actually see the end because of all the signs we are now seeing. Like I talk about the mark of the beast is staring us in the face. So if you are trying to think of timeline, you can Google that and see many people predicting timelines. Say, well, you know, 7th week of Daniel, and we are about here, and we're here at 7 more years or 3.5 more years. That is where I say we, many of us in the 1970s, were saying that the prophet said 1977. The end of the world will be, or it could be at that time. And we are beginning to timeline this thing. Don't timeline anything, just be ready. Number one. Number two, the signs that you point to about the Antichrist coming, we are saying the mark is supposed here. It's maybe in the generation of your children, when they will make it mandatory that chips under the skin is what they will use. No more credit cards, no more currencies. We are already at that phase. So that is the end. Praise the Lord. Any other brother wants to talk about the answer as well about John? He asked the question, are there any historical archaeological finding that says about God?
Well, I'm not a
geologist,
so I don't know geological finding, but I know there are geologists that have found the word of God. We have something that confirming the word of God. Even though I cannot give you any position for that. But talking about timeline, you see, we need to know exactly where we are. Talking about that, God has chosen Israel to be like a pine crop. We have to believe prophecies, we have to study prophecies. It's not just a question of getting ready. But don't know that the prophecies of Daniel, they are all come to pass as regards the coming of the Lord and how he died. Everything was predicted according to the prophecy came to pass exactly. The only part that has not yet come to pass is the 70th week of Daniel. We need to know what the 70th week of Daniel is all about. It's about the prophetic last 7 years of this age, not of this world. This age we are living in. There is time when the times of the Gentiles will be completed. Because the Bible talks about when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Then the rapture will take place. When the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, God will go back to Israel. As of now, the Israelites, they don't know God. Israel, the nation, they don't know God.
they are unbelievers. Judaism is their religion. They rejected the Messiah when the Messiah came. But the time will so come when you get to know the Lord. One thing is pending, the revealing of the third temple.
I don't want us to go deeper into that right now, but people can search more of that later, because we can actually take a whole session. We are going to wrap it up right now, because the timeline is deeper discussion, deeper revelation, and deeper explaining. So let's wrap it up, because we are going to run this, we are at past 12, unless people say, I want to keep going. I want to keep going. I don't have anything to do. But the pastor told me that we are going to do Father's Day in a moment. So I want to just wrap it up now and postpone this to another time. We're going to postpone to another time so that we do this more and more, not just once in 10 years. Because there are some college students that are learning from the professors, and they have questions. Because the one I told you that told me has PhD already. Told me on the phone that said, you guys believe this is too long, you think it's true? Ha! Said, think it's true? We have touched this Jesus. I have seen him with my eyes. So not just believe what the apostles wrote, which is testimony. You better believe the testimonies of others. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to invite people that are watching, give your life to Jesus. He is the only way. He is the only way. Religion will not save you, but Jesus will save you. So how do you give your life to Jesus? Just talk to him and say, Lord, I surrender. I am yours. Come into my heart. I repent for my sins. Come into my heart. Give me this new heart they are talking about. Let me be born again. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you shed your blood for me. And I believe you rose again from the dead. And you are coming back. I belong to you right now. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Forgive all my sins. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you do that, sincerely mean it, the Lord will touch you and you will be saved. Praise the Lord. So that will be the end of this panel. And by popular request, in the future, we'll do it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just stand up. Stand up and lift up your hands and thank the Lord. The priest team can come back and wrap it up. Bring your offering. Bring your offering and the Lord bless you. Hallelujah.